I'm Molly Wansell.
And I'm Geoffrey Wansell.
And for the last 16 years or thereabouts, we have been having lunch every Saturday, and often our conversation turns to murder.
And that's what's prompted us to launch this true crime podcast called Blood Ties.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Blood Ties podcast. I'm Molly Wansell and I'm here with my father, Geoffrey Wansell.
Hi everyone, welcome back. Thank you again for listening. We hope you enjoy it. Well, is enjoy the right word? We hope you find it interesting.
Yeah.
And illuminating.
Mm.
If sometimes a little greasy.
Greasy?
Sometimes a little grisly.
A bit greasy, grisly, yeah. Creepy.
Well, that's certainly the case this week.
Grim.
This is a particularly creepy case.
Oh, great.
I think we're going to call it the Babyface Killer.
Are we?
Yes.
Are we going to get right into it? No preamble.
No, we're going to get right into it.
Okay.
We'll have something jolly at the end.
What's this, the Babyface Killer?
It's the Babyface Killer.
Okay, well, let's go.
Okay. A young man called Lewis Mark Daines, spelt D-A-Y-N-E-S, was born on the 16th of October, 1995, in Harold Wood in Essex. He grew up in and around Essex. I think the family home was in Hornchurch. Again, edge of London on the way towards the sea, so to speak. His father was a customs officer and mother was a nurse. He was brought up an only child by his mother. His father disappeared. And he claimed that she abandoned him. I suspect that isn't the case. I expect he was just extremely difficult. He felt abandoned, he insisted, as he grew up, by both his parents. He was an isolated, awkward, socially inept outcast with a temper and capable of jealousy. In 2009, at the age of 14, he was diagnosed as also suffering from Asperger's syndrome, which only increased his sense of isolation and also increased his sense of specialness. In 2011, at the age of 16, he was accused of raping a boy of 14, but no charges were brought because of embarrassment and shame. But the allegations were logged on the police national database. Lewis Daines' real skill lay in computers. And he retired into, effectively, his own world. He created a gaming group online and built for himself, as so many people involved in that kind of thing do, built for himself a complete fantasy world.
Yeah.
He would tell the other gamers in his group that he was in New York, that he was in Dubai, that he was a multimillionaire, that was also an undercover agent for the FBI. And this is an 18-year-old sitting in his bedroom in Grays in Essex. He's moved into a flat on his own in Grays in Essex. I mean, complete and absolute fantasy land.
That's the thing with the internet.
Anyway, he controlled his very exclusive TeamSpeak group. He didn't want it to be very big, 8 at the maximum, 6 ideally. And he controlled them with a rod of iron. You know, he could expel them, not let them hear anything. It was an extraordinary...
I don't get the whole gaming thing, really.
Well, I never have either, but I do understand, you know, that people can get hooked on it. Well, one young man who did get hooked on it was called Breck Bednar, and he was born in Caserham in Surrey in 1999, and he had a loving mother and father, Lorin and Barry Bednar. Barry was a very successful oil trader. And Lorin was his American-born wife. And she went on, after Breck to have triplets. Believe it or not, gosh. Two girls and a boy.
Amazing.
They're a very happy family, apparently.
And tired, I would imagine.
Yeah, but 2007, Lauren and Barry broke up, and it wasn't a particularly acrimonious breakup. He moved out, but he remained a factor in everyone's life and the children's lives. And Breck went to St. Bede's School in Red Hill, and he was very keen on the Air Training Corps. If you look him up, there's a rather sweet picture of him in his Air Training Corps uniform with a beret.
Cute.
Very, very nice, you know. But by the age of 14, in 2013, Breck is becoming increasingly moody and a bit isolated. Well, not unusual in a 14-year-old, to be fair, but his mother, Lauren, gets worried about this. And she suddenly realises that Breck is talking to somebody online who's giving her Breck instructions about how he should deal with her parent, with his parents. And at one point, Breck presents his mother with a two-page outline of how he should be treated, which is, of course, written by Lewis Staines, who's into whose thrall
Breck has fallen.
He has fallen. He's caught, like the spider in the web, by Lewis Staines. Staines casts a spell, and Breck falls headfirst into it. Staines is a manipulative, callous, with no sense of other people and only sense of himself. Well, Breck's mother, Lauren, is very perturbed by this, by the developments in her son, and at one point she goes to the trouble of phoning 101, which is the non-urgent police line, and reports the fact that she feels that her son is being manipulated by someone online, and she wonders whether it could be a paedophile, or could it be an Islamist terrorist, or what could it be? And the operator says, oh, well, don't worry, we'll investigate. Sadly, no investigation ever takes place. The report is just about filed. Nothing's done. But on the same day as she reports Breck to Surrey Police, she confiscates his computers.
Good idea.
And the following day, she has a meeting with a friend of his from school who's also worried about this TeamSpeak group online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the boys online, and it's all boys, are getting fed up with Lewis Staines and being fed up with being told what to do. But as ever, if you're in the thrall of someone, what do? They say, oh, well, perhaps we'll break it off. And then they don't break it off. So Breck was subjected to Lewis Staines on the same day, the same evening, one email saying, oh, we should stop seeing each other. And then another one about 40 minutes later saying, oh, we must remain together. We've got something very special. Breck's mother gives him back his computers after Christmas. And there can be no doubt that by this point, remember, Breck Bednar has never met Lewis Staines. Only met online.
Yeah.
No connection whatever.
Yeah.
And besides, Caterham in Surrey is a good way from Grays in Essex.
True.
This is where the horrifying part starts. Lewis Staines buys on Amazon, duct tape, condoms, lubricant, and a syringe. And then goes on holiday to Thailand.
Where's he getting his money from?
What a very, very good question. One which I, too, have been unable to answer.
Interesting.
Anyway, by the beginning of February, Breck is firmly back on Lewis Daines's hook. There's a bit of a spat because Breck's going on a school trip to Spain. Nothing unusual on that, in that, really. I mean, you know, it's a... bless you.
Thank you.
And what's more, it appears, at least according to one of the photographs that's posted back online, that Breck quite likes girls, one of whom he meets in Spain.
Right. Lewis isn't too happy about that.
Lewis is none too pleased about that. He's very jealous. There's no contact. And he tells Breck that he's been in hospital and he should come back and look after him. Well, remember, the boy is not old. You know, he's getting on for 15. It's a story that is not cheerful, I'm afraid. But it all comes to a head when Breck comes back to England from his trip to Spain. Incidentally, his mum's gone on holiday and left the childcare, the triplets and him, in the charge of his dad, Barry. But Barry's perfectly happy to do that. Mm-hmm. Moves into the house. No, nothing new.
Yeah.
Done it before. But on the morning of February the 16th, 2014, Breck takes a taxi from Caterham to Grays in Essex. And Lewis Dane pays the taxi driver. Again, where does he get the money from? Good question.
Mm.
The two young men, I mean, Daines is only 18 at this point, have never met before. They meet as Daines comes out of the flat to pay the taxi driver. What happens on the rest of that day is a matter for some speculation. We do know that Breck's phone was last used just after midday, and we do know that Lewis Daines's phone was last used to order two takeaway pizzas just after six, and may have been tempted into some kind of bondage game, hence the use of the duct tape. Well, only thing we can say for absolute certain is that the following morning, on the 17th of February 2014, Breck phoned two friends. Sorry, Daines phones two 15-year-olds who were part of the
group,
explaining there'd been Breck hadn't been well and there would have been a falling out and a struggle. And at 10:13 that morning, he sends three photographs of Breck to a friend in America online. And at 11:06 that morning, the 17th of February 2014, he calls the police. At 11:14, the police turn up at his flat in Grays in Essex. And the first thing he says is very calm, very collected. He's 18. Look, I know I've killed him. I know he's dead. I stabbed him in his main artery in his neck. There is blood everywhere. Lewis Daines is arrested and charged on the 18th of February 2014 with the murder of Breck Bednar. And he plans and insists that he's going to plead not guilty.
On account of...
He's just going to plead not guilty.
But he's confessed.
Yes. But he said all sorts of things you can say if you've confessed. You can say it was a coerced confession. You can say I had a momentary memory lapse. Yes, you could well say that, stretching the imagination, couldn't you?
Mm.
Breck's mother quickly founds a little charity to help other young men or women who are being groomed online, and is a very firm advocate of that. I think that the reason that Danes pleaded not guilty was he wanted to put the family through a trial.
What a dick. Excuse my language.
I think he wanted to subject the family to a
particularly with people.
Sensational trial. But nevertheless, on the morning of the 25th of November 2014, at Chelmsford Crown Court, he changes his plea to guilty. And on the 12th of January 2015, after reports, Lewis Danes gets a life sentence with a minimum term of 25 years. He's 19.
It's not really, yeah.
Which means he's eligible for parole in his mid-40s.
Yeah.
There's no way of knowing what makes someone groom, target, and ultimately kill an absolutely blameless,
innocent,
vulnerable 14-year-old boy. It is chilling, and there can be no other word for it.
Despicable.
I would say, personally, that, and I think it's very instructive that we're currently even beginning to think about this again, the parole board has a very grave responsibility here, because it's entirely possible that he will become a model prisoner and only to offend again.
He's a groomer, so he can manipulate. He's a manipulator.
Yes. And in my mind, one of the most manipulative. He reminds me of Jamie Reynolds, one of the very early cases
we did,
who was very young too.
Yeah.
And he targeted a girl.
Yeah.
And not a boy. This is a manipulator, and it's the callousness and the calm that takes your breath away.
Yeah,
you didn't seem to have a moment's sense of guilt. He certainly demonstrated no sign of remorse or regret. It was, well, I killed him. Oh, by the way, I stabbed him in his main artery in his neck. Let's complete the ugliness of the picture. What was the result? Was this he wouldn't do what I wanted him to do, so I'm going to kill him?
Maybe he always wanted to kill. Maybe that was his jam.
Maybe that was the thing.
Yeah.
He wanted to kill.
Yeah.
In which case, it's even more dangerous, isn't he?
Yeah. He seems pretty dangerous to me.
This doesn't strike you as a non-premeditated murder, does it?
No.
Not if you buy duct tape on Amazon. Presumably there was some kind of sexual
motive. And also, you have to be, quite specific to know where the main artery in the neck is. I don't think I would know from first...
I don't think you would.
First stab.
No.
If you know what I mean.
No.
And I don't think I would say... I mean, certainly not... It doesn't sound like a sex game gone wrong or something like that.
No.
Because it's quite specific.
Yeah. There were signs, as I was hinting, that some duct tape had been used on his ankles. We won't ever really know. And Danes is certainly not going to tell us.
No. Definitely not. Oh, grim. I don't know anything about him.
No. He's interesting, isn't he?
And you're right. I just looked him up and he literally looks about 12.
Mm. Yes.
It's crazy.
You mean Breck?
Yeah. Lewis.
No, Lewis Danes. It looks much
younger. He looks younger than Breck.
He looks younger than Breck, yes.
He's so young looking.
Yes.
I thought it was the other way around when I looked at their pictures straight away.
I mean, he's literally round.
Extraordinary.
Face. He's the baby-faced killer. He was nicknamed by the press in Essex as the baby-faced killer.
Yes, extraordinary. So young looking.
Yes.
Which maybe makes you come across more innocent.
Well, there you have it.
Always a worry. Gosh, well, there you do go. The baby-faced killer. Thanks, Dad.
The It's a little shorter, but I don't think it's any less interesting for that.
That's a really awful story.
Because, you know, we've talked about the perils of grooming in the past, haven't we?
Well, the dangers of the internet.
Yeah.
For all those couples that have met on Hinge,
no,
there's an equal number of murders.
Yes, I'm not criticising anybody for doing whatever they do, but...
Just be careful.
Yeah, I think that it plays exactly to my...
Don't go to people's houses you don't know.
No.
Meet people in public places.
Yes.
Don't trust people that don't send you photos of themselves or don't, you know, won't FaceTime with you or whatever.
Yeah.
I was listening to this extraordinary podcast a friend recommended to me, which we've talked about catfishing before, haven't we?
Yes.
Oh, that concept of catfishing. And this woman had undergone like the world's most complicated catfish that lasted 10 years.
Crikey.
And that the person catfishing her in the end was actually her cousin.
Oh.
Total plot spoiler, so I'm not going to bother telling you which podcast is to listen to. But although you do discover that about halfway through. But the cousin had gone to like such extreme lengths to like pull in this woman, and like she was playing like 19 or 20 different people. So she'd set up like that many phones and like was sending her messages, like corroborating information from different people, and like really extraordinary.
Crikey.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know, it's wild what people will do.
Well,
you know,
I'm jolly glad that people are always telling me about how it's awful on social media. Well, I'm not really on social media, so
I mean, you do have an Instagram page.
I do.
Jeffrey.
It gets a bit neglected, I'm afraid.
And you have and Blood Ties has an Instagram page.
Yes, we should tell people how to contact us again, shouldn't we?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, you contact us through Instagram or Twitter, bloodskies_pod. Instagram is probably best because that's where I am. Or you can email us at bloodties.podcast@gmail.com, or you can find Jeffrey at jeffreywantsall.com.
Yep.
And his contact details are on there.
Yes, you can find me there.
And if you're on Patreon, you can message us on Patreon.
Yes, and I'm doing some more. I'm going to get my Patreon act together. I'm sorry, COVID slightly interrupted me, but I shall get my Patreon act together and start Patreoning.
Busy man, plus COVID. So...
Have you got exciting things on the horizon?
No, not really.
No. I'm just pleased to...
I want to decorate my bedrooms.
I'm just pleased to have escaped self-isolation.
You're allowed out again?
Yes. I did another test this morning.
Good. Glad to hear you're Nego Nancy.
Yes, I'm...
Nego Norman.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Yes, slightly shorter, but nonetheless.
No, I do think it warrants it. It's a good little story.
Good story indeed. Well, thank you to all the people that help us, our producer Sam Bray, my brother Dan, who did the music, my friend George, who drew our caricature, to Audio Boom for hosting us, to Jeffrey for all the hard work, and to you, the listeners, thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Molly, who is the brains behind this operation.
That's not true.
Without whom none of this would have been possible. And as I often say, in this particular case, I really mean it. Bad things do happen to good people, so do please be careful out there.